Tim, you know, he's the person who makes things happen.
In many ways, does things a lot more than the people that actually do it. So I want to say thank you. I'm sure that's true, though, but Ellie spoke to me, so I want to say thank you to Yitz as well for hosting it. I put him b'chavad achsanya, b'zrat Hashem, in the schus of the Divrei Torah, should find a stable parnasa, and in the field that he chooses. I also want to say that this Mishnah Mashiach should be the refuata shel Odelia Nechama Bat Michal, the daughter of a good friend of mine who unfortunately was hurt a little bit over a year ago in a terrorist attack, and she's still recovering. So she should have a refuah shleima. Ellie told me that I have only 7 hours to give this. I'll try and keep it down to six.
Tonight's not the all-nighter, that's next week.
Yeah. I'm joking. The truth is that if you want to speak about Shavuos, then you run into a brick wall. Well, part of the problem is every year when I come to think about Shavuos, I ask myself the same questions, and I always try and look for a new answer, but it doesn't always happen. Let me get you guys involved in the questions, because I think they're important, and they tell us a lot about the day. When you look about in Shavuos, I'm not sure who was that spoke before me.
Yehuda
Aharoni. That was Yehuda Aharoni. Oh, I know his parents from years ago. Didn't recognize him. Oh, he actually speaks English well. Really? Well, as a child.
Yeah,
his parents. That's where my parents know him from. Anyway, so very nice. Okay. The first thing that you notice about Chag HaShavuot when you look at the Torah is that it's called Chag HaShavuot. You know, you kind of think that the Torah would want to give you something definitive about the Chag. And yet, when you get to it, when you read the Psukim, when the Torah actually tells you about it, there really isn't anything. Chag HaShavuot. Why is it Chag HaShavuot? Well, because you counted the weeks, and you counted the days up until such time as you made it to this Chag. Chag HaShavuot doesn't really tell you about anything. Okay, that's up to the Chag. What about the Chag? It's just very strange. It's special in that it has no date. Okay, you had mentioned that before. There's no set date. 50 days from the first Chag of Pesach, that's its date. Whereas all the other Chagim, they all have a date. The Torah tells you, right? Asiri l'chodesh ha-shvi'i, right? There's Yom Kippur, right? The 15th of the month, by both Pesach and Sukkot, everything has a date. But Chag HaShavuot doesn't have a date. It has no private mitzvahs. Okay, you look for it. You have your lulav, you have your etrog, you have your sukkah, you have your whatever, you have your matzah and Pesach. You know, all the mo'adim, they have something special. Chag HaShavuot, they only have public mitzvahs, right? The shtei alechem, which is the korban brought in Shavuos. You have the korbanot musaf, but all the yomim tovim, they have a korban musaf. You know, where it just disappears. Lastly, it's just one day. Okay, every other chag, every other regel, you start off with the yom tov, you end with the yom tov. But Chag HaShavuot, it's just one day. Now, what's going on there? Now, I wanted to ask. I forgot to bring a Gemara Pesachim. Do you have a Gemara Pesachim here? Okay, when you look at Chag HaShavuot in the Torah, it just says Darshein. Well, what is going on here? What is this Chag? Furthermore, what the Torah does tell us about is it's called Chag HaKatzir. Why is it called Chag HaKatzir? Because it happens at the time of year when the Minhag in Eretz Yisrael was to plant wheat during the winter. The wheat would grow during the winter, and now's the time they harvest. So it gives you an idea of when it's supposed to come about, but it doesn't really tell you anything about the Chag itself. Now, to add fuel to the fire, there's a Gemara in Pesachim on Daf Samechet Amud Bet, very famous Gemara. The Gemara itself is dealing with the question of Yom Tov. Okay, the Torah tells us Yom Tov is supposed to be a good day. Well, how do you have a good day on Yom Tov? So the Gemara brings two deyas, right? We have, you know, obviously you can't have one opinion. You have to have at least two opinions if you're Jews. The Gemara says the following. It says, it's in the middle of another sugya, truthfully. It says, Rabbi Yeshua Letame, Rabbi Yeshua is following his own opinion. Damar Simchat Yom Tov Nami Mitzvahi, the Simcha, which we have in Yom Tov, right? All of the Yomim Tovim is also a mitzvah. And he brings down the following braita, Ditanya, Rabbi Lazar Omer. Ein lo la'adam b'yom tov, eile o ochel v'shote o yoshev v'shone. Rabbi Lazar says, how are you supposed to be mekayim the mitzvah of Simcha and Yom Tov? Well, one of two ways. You either sit down and enjoy it with your family, you eat and you drink, or you go to the Beit HaMidrash all day, you don't eat and drink, and you sit and you learn. One of those two ways. Not one and the other, one or the other. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, and he's the shita that we follow, halacha lemaisa, right? Brought down in the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch. Chalkei, you have to divide it up. Chetzio la'achila v'shtia, v'chetzio la'beit ha'midrash. Right, half day of Yom Tov, you're supposed to be eating and drinking. You're supposed to enjoy it. You're supposed to have physical pleasure. And the other half day, you're supposed to be in the Beit HaMidrash, as Chazal will tell us, right? Lo nitnu Shabbatot v'yamim tovim l'Yisrael, elu la'asok ben b'Torah. What's the purpose of having these days of rest, these days which are forbidden from Malacha? So that you have time to sit down, right? Get work out of your head, get Parnas out of your head, sit down and learn, right? Work for the future Parnasa, not the present Parnasa. So fine, so we have a very nice machloket here. Rabbi Yochanan adds one more affidavit, and that he says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan shnei mikra echad darshu. They both learned it from the same source. It doesn't really literally mean one pasuk, right? The two pasukim he's about to quote are from two different places in the Chumash Bechlal, but he means they both learned it from the same source. Why? Katuv echad omer, one pasuk says, Atzeret la'ashem elokecha. Okay, that was said concerning Shmini Atzeret, and it's very important to remember that. It was said concerning Shmini Atzeret that that's a day, la'ashem elokecha. It's supposed to be devoted to the Ribono Shel Olam. Ve'katuv echad omer, Atzeret yelechem. And yet another one says that it's not l'Hashem, it's l'chem, it's supposed to be for you. Enjoy it the way that you see fit. So both of them understand from these two psukim, which obviously contradict each other, that there's two ways you're supposed to observe the Simcha of Yom Tov. Rabbi Lazar Savar, okulo l'Hashem, okulo l'chem. So Rabbi Lazar says, make a decision. Either you're going to be Mekadosh the entire day to Hashem, or you're going to be Mekadosh the entire day to your family, to sit down and enjoy it physically, like the physical pleasures of Yom Tov. Right, as Chazal say, "Ein simcha, ele simcha, simchat yom tov lebasar v'yayin." Right, technically that has an effect on what we do in Shavuos. The minhag on Shavuos is to have something milchix. Most of the poskim say that what do? You come back from shul, you make kiddush, and you have your cheesecake, and then afterwards you either go to sleep if you're that tired, or if you want to have your meal then, and then afterwards go to sleep, so you have a fleishik meal because ein simcha ele basar v'yayin. Right, that's was said over the name of Shlomo Zalman Arbozer. It's the Brocha. That's what he was knowing. In any case, so fine. That's according to Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Yeshua Sevar, Chalkei Chetziol Hashem, Chetziol Lachem. Why do you have two psukim? Because you're supposed to divide the day in two. Now, what's interesting? The Gemara comes up and says the following: Amari Balazar, Hakol Modin BeAtzeret DeBeEinan Nami Lachem. When it comes to Atzeret, what's Atzeret? Shavuos. Okay, that's Shavuos. When it comes to Atzeret, I'm sorry, the end of 50 days. When it comes to Atzeret, everyone agrees that you require Lachem, meaning that even Rabbi Lazar, who says, make up your mind, either it's Kula LaHashem or Kula Lachem, even Rabbi Lazar would say, under the circumstances, that when it comes to Shavuos, you have to have a nice fleishig meal, right? You have to have your basar, you have to have your yayin, you have to eat. Why? And here's the interesting part. My taima, yom shenit nevo Torah. Ah, because it's a day when the Torah was given. The day that the Torah was given, that's the day that you're going to dafka eat. Adarab, I would think to myself, that's dafka the day that I'm going to go and I'm going to sit in the Beit HaMidrash, I'm going to be hadar b'Torah. I'm going to be in the Beit HaMidrash all day. That's how I'm honoring the day. But no, everybody says, no, the day the Torah was given, you have to have a meal. You have to have a meal. Even Rebbe Lazar. That's just weird. Now, as I mentioned before, the name Atzeret is very weird. Okay, if you look in the Mishnah, the Mishnah has a special name for all of the regalim. Pesach, you'll never guess which that one is. Right? Pesach is Pesach. Chag, Shavuos is a Sukkos. But when it says Atzeres, it means Shavuos. Now what's weird is that when you look in the Torah, we don't find that Shavuos is called Atzeres. There's only one Chag which is called Atzeres in the Torah, and that's Shmini Atzeres. So what in the world, what were Chazal getting at when they said, oh, we're going to give it a new name? Right, in the Torah it says it's called Chag HaKatzir. In the Torah it's called Chag HaShavuot. We're going to give it another name. Atzeret. It's Atzeret. What in the world were they thinking? Why does it need a new name? Just use the ones that the Torah gives you. Those are another two questions to add to the fire. All right, we'll keep it at these questions. Okay, I think that's plenty of questions to deal with. Right? Should I sum them up? Right, the questions that we have in Shavuos. First of all, is that why is it such a weird chag? Right, most chagim have at least 2 days of Yom Tov. Shavuos has one. Second of all, the name seems to have nothing to do with the chag itself. Right, Shavuos is everything leading up to the chag, and then when you get to the chag, it's plop. Third of all, there's no special mitzvahs pratiot, right? There's no mitzvah for you to do. There's only mitzvahs to do in the Beit HaMikdash, which are tziburiot. Another question we asked is, why Chazal decided to give it this funny name, Atzeret? Oh, I skipped one prat. Is that it has no date? Why does it have no date? Why did Chazal decide to give it the name Atzeret? And last of all, if it's the day which Nitna Botairah, okay, if that's the day Shenitna Botairah, I would think that our sages would tell us, Yom Shenitna Botairah, go to the Beit HaMidrash, spend the entire day in the Beit HaMidrash. If they say, no, you have to have a Hilga meal, you have to have a great meal on Shavuos. Everyone agrees. That's the day to have a feast. So those are all the questions. And of course, you got to ask yourself the question, Yom Shenitna Botairah, why doesn't the Torah mention that? You know, why doesn't it say, keep the Chag because it's the Chag where you were given the Torah? It doesn't say that. All right, I'm going to try to get us into a feeling, a little bit of Chag HaShavuot, as best as I can. Right, obviously, when we're dealing with Chag HaShavuot, Yom Shenitna Botairah, there is an indefatigable amount of information which you can speak about. Right, Torah has no end. Hafuch ba v'hafuch ba dekulava. There's nothing. You can't. You can delve deeply in the Torah. You'll find anything. I remember when I was learning Yisuf HaHeter for Smicha. And somebody, a friend of mine in university, asked me what we were doing. I said, well, I'm learning about the dynamics of heat. And he said, what do you mean you're learning about the dynamics of heat? Where's that in the Torah? I said, well, very simple. You learn Hilchot Basar B'Challev, you'll find out about it. I had another opportunity. I was learning Hilchot Mikvaos, right, for my Smicha. And Hilchot Mikvaos, many times they deal with all the hydrodynamics. So I had another friend that asked me, what do you think? I'm dealing with hydrodynamics. He says, hydrodynamics? Where's that mentioned in the Torah? I said, you never learned Hilchot Mikvaos. Everything is in the Torah. Everything, no matter what you want. Right? Well, one rabbi, like listening to Rav Tulio Singer, he says, you know, it's all there from cross-dressing to cockroach eating. You know, you'll find it in the Torah. So we're going to try and delve a little bit into the Torah in order to understand a little bit, right? Mamash katzev mina katzev what Shavuos is. The first thing I think which we need to address is the connection between Shavuos and Pesach. Okay? Shavuos has no date. Its date is Pesach. That's what Chazal were telling us. That's what the Torah tells us. It doesn't have a date because its date is entirely dependent upon when Pesach is. Right? You have two Adars. Well, it's going to get pushed off by a month. If the two Rashi Chodesh are Male, right, in the time when the Beit Din were Mekadosh the Chodesh, if they were both the months were full, in which case you had two extra days, well, then it's going to come out on Hey Sivan, not Vav Sivan, not Zayin Sivan. Okay? If they were Chaser, it would come out on Zayin. You know, it's played based on the days of the month and by the day that of Pesach. That's the first thing you have to remember. There's a connection. The Torah itself makes this connection between the two days. There's an interesting thing, I think it's just in general, which we have to know about Moadim, is that why did Hashem pick these special times of the year in order to have the Moadim? Well, that's what the Torah tells us about. We mentioned that Shavuos is called Chag HaKatzir. Sukkos is called Chag HaAsif. Now, the reason that they were given these names is the following reason. One of my neighbors in Beit Chilkir, right, it's a, you know, an agricultural place. So my neighbor across the street, Dafka, the guy with those of you that came to bake matzahs there. So he decided once that he was going to do a hiddur in matzah baking. What was his hiddur? He says, listen, you know, everybody has their shtick. Yes. Everybody has their shtick. You have the one guy, you know, he's got the handmade matzahs. This one has the handmade matzahs. They're made with the hand-ground, you know, wheat. So he said to myself, I'm going to add another hitter to the list. I'm going to grow, right? He has a big agricultural area in his backyard, basically. I'm going to grow wheat, and I'm going to do ktsira b'yad. Right? We're going to cut my sons and I, he has four sons, b'liya and Ara, they're all very hard workers. We are going to have ktsira b'yad, and we're going to sell it, you know, extra cost. You're going to cut it down by hand. And so, you know, we have our shtick, so we'll get into the shuk. So what happened? So he went and he found out what's the best wheat you need to plant in order for matzahs, and he plants it and it grows, and he gets out there with his sons and they all take their scythes. I assume they had a hand scythe or something like that. He says, okay, boys, get to work. And they're working and they're working and they're working. He says they've been working for 7-8 hours and they look back and they've gone like 3 meters into the field. Now this field is like 400, 500 meters long. And they say, okay, maybe it was a bad day. Let's try again tomorrow. They try again tomorrow. They get up early. They dive in early. They get to work, and they're cutting, and they're cutting, and they're cutting, and they're cutting. And 8 hours later, they're like another 10 meters further. So he said to himself, forget this hitter. He called one of our other neighbors. He says, bring your combine. Take the stuff down. And that was the end of it. Okay? But what is the issue here? You can imagine what it was like to have a field of wheat or a field of grain, and you're cutting and you're cutting and you're cutting, and it's days and weeks. And when you're finished, you have this long sigh of relief, right? The Torah tells us about the Boaz, right? The time of Ktzir Chitim, which we're going to read about in Ruth, that when they were finished with the Ktzir Chitim, they made a party. You know, it was such a simcha that you finally got the work done. That's the time to do it. After Katsir, after Asif, when you gather it all the grain, all summer long it stays out in the field to dry out, you gather it into the granary, and then you have Chag HaSukkot. Why is that? Very simple. The Torah wants to make it easy for you to be happy. Okay? It's done at these specific times of the year because it's a time where you naturally have an affinity to happiness. You finished your job cutting down the wheat. Oh, and now we have Shavuos, a day of rest, right? You finished gathering your grain into the granary, and now you have Sukkot. Oh, now I'm happy. Look, your bank account. Look in your bank account, and you find you have $100,000 in the plus, you know, as opposed to most of us. Then you know that's a simcha. You know, you feel good. You breathe a sigh of relief. It's very easy to be samech, to have the simcha of Sukkot. We won't speak about that right now, but just as a harad derech agav. Another thing about the connection between Pesach and Shavuos is what the Torah tells us by Pesach. Right, we all know the pasuk says, "V'igadta lebincha b'yomahu lemor ba'avur ze asa Hashem li b'tzeitim mi'mitzrayim." Now, the interesting thing which you have to know is that whenever you look in Rashi, at the very least, right, I think most of the Rishonim as well, but Rashi, baduk u'menusa, you look at Rashi throughout Tanakh where it says the word ze zo zot, it's always something which you point with, which you point your finger at, always. Okay, which is why Rabban Gamliel says, right, Kol shelo amar shlosha dvarim eile, lo kiyem ba mitzvata Pesach, right? What are they? Pesach, matzah, umaru. Ba'avur zeh, they're sitting in front of you on the table, you have to point to them. What's interesting is the Rishonim on the Pasuk say the following. They say, no. Ba'avur zeh means, in order that I should be allowed to be mekayim the mitzvahs which I'm going to get at Sinai. In other words, the entire Yetziah from Mitzrayim was the first step on a journey of 1,000 miles. The intention was always, Yetziat Mitzrayim, as big a mess as it was always just to make it to Sinai, so that at Sinai you could get the Torah, and by getting the Torah you're going to become something better, something different. Now, how do we see this? We see this very clearly, right? One of the things we mentioned in the Haggadah is that in Mitzrayim there were 10 makos. And then you get to that funny part in the Haggadah where you have all of a sudden, and Aliyam, there were 50 makas, there were 200 makas, there were 250 makas. Do we have any clue what they're talking about? No, I certainly don't. I assume that the great Tanaim, they knew what they were talking about, right? They could describe it in details, which is why they were up the entire night on Pesach in order to discuss the issue, right? We have trouble keeping ourselves awake until 1, 2 in the morning because it's like, okay, what do I say now? But they had what to say. But that was nothing, right? Kriyas Yamsuf, where we said Ze Keli Vanveyu, Masher Atah Shifcha Layam, that which a maidservant saw at Yamsuf, even the greatest of Nevi'im, right? Yechezkel Anavi, who saw Maaseh Merkava, he didn't get to see it. How do we know? I always ask this when we get to the how do you know that? Because they say Ze Keli Vanveyu. What is Ze? They can point to the Ribono Shel Olam. Yechezkel Anavi in the Maaseh Merkava, he only saw the Kisei HaKavod. He didn't see God. The malachim, the that are carrying the kiseh, they say, Ayem Mekom Kavoda. They can't see a Kadosh Baruch Hu. They're sitting under the kiseh kavod. Obviously, they can't see him. Right? But Mashara Ata Shifcha Layam, Lora Yechezkel Ben Buzi. But when you get to Sinai, and what happened at Sinai, that becomes Ka'ain Ve'efes. What they saw at Yamsuf was nothing compared to what they saw at Sinai. Now, obviously, what would be amazing to do would be to go into tremendous detail about what happened at Sinai. But that's an entire shiur into itself. I will mention quickly that our sages say that when it came to Hashem saying, Anochi Hashem Elokecha asher tzaseicha b'Mitzrayim, he teared asunder the 7 heavens and the 7 levels of Gehenna. Bnei Yisrael were given the power of sight to see all of creation, and they could see that there was nothing like a Kadosh Baruch Hu in all of existence. That's how great it was. It was way beyond that. But just to give you an inkling of what we're talking about, it's not that they saw God. They saw God as compared to everything else, and they said, whoa, everything else is nothing. So what the Shivcha saw on the Yam was nothing compared to what Bnei Yisrael saw at Sinai. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do a favor. He wanted to give us the Torah. He took us out of Egypt and wanted to give us the Torah. But when he came to give the Torah, he knew there's one problem. It's something called Kinam B'Masa Bereishis. We find this by when HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world. So one day, Rashi mentions this in Bereishis, one day he made Shamayim, the next day he made Aretz. Another day he made Shamayim, right? Fourth day Aretz. Fifth day Shamayim, sixth day Eretz, and the seventh day, right, he rested, which was both a connection between both of them. Why did he do that? Because he says, I can't have kinah b'masa bereishis. Now, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to give us the Torah, he also said, there can't be kinah b'masa bereishis. What does that mean? So this is the famous midrash which our sages tell us on the Pasuk, Hashem misinai ba, v'zarach misi'u lamo, hofia mahaparan, right, this is said in Parashat Ha'azinu. Hashem mi Sinai ba, when he came to give the Torah, he left Sinai. Vizarach mi Seir lamo, he then went to Seir. Hofia mehar Paran, he went next to Paran. Hofia mehar Paran. Va'adam revot kodesh, then he came back with my Israel. Mimino eshdat lamo, because he wanted to give on that day eshdat, which is the Torah. He wanted to give the Torah to Israel. Why did he go to these places? So I say, just sell very simple. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could not have offered the Torah only to Bnei Yisrael. If he would have offered the Torah only to Bnei Yisrael, the Goyim would come up and say, well, God, you can't have any tainas against us. You never offered us the Torah. Right? If you want to get into a little detail on this, in the beginning of Masechet Brachos, so there's a parish of Rav Nissim Gaon. And he has a whole Akdama to Masechet Brachos, in which he mentions this fact. He says, he gets into the entire Matan Torah. He says, there's no way HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to offer it to everybody. Now, the funny thing is that we get into this catch 22. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that everybody else but Bnei Yisrael was not going to accept the Torah. So, when he came to offer the Torah to the other nations, what was his intention? We find the Midrash says the following. He went to Seir first. Right, Hashem is in Eibad, Azarach Misir Lamo, we this year first. Who lives in Seir?
Esav.
And he said to Esav, I have a Torah to give you. Do you want to take it? And Esav said, well, God, what's written in it? And God said, no?
You shall not kill.
And Esav said, God, me not kill? How could I do that? My bracha is al charbecha techiyeh. Right? I live by the sword. You want to tell me? How can you live by the sword and not kill? That's tar de satra. It doesn't work. So, can't take it. He then goes to Paran. Anybody know who lived in Paran? Ishmael. Fantastic. He went to Ishmael, right? First you go to the children of Avram. If you're going to go, you know, you're going to give it to the children of Yaakov. First you go to the children of Avram. So he went to Ishmael, and he said, I have a Torah to give you. Do you want to take it? Ishmael said, that sounds great, God, but what's written in it? And he says, Lo tignov, you shouldn't steal. He says, God, don't you remember what was said concerning me? Right? Yado bakol v'yad kol bo. How could I not steal? And he went on and he asked all the nations. They all rejected it. They all asked the same story. Till he came to Bnei Israel and he said, Na'aseh v'nishma. Now I have a question to ask. If God really intended to give it to them, then I'm sorry, but it sounds to me like he has to go and he has to take a course in marketing. Because, you know, How do you sell something to people? I have something good to sell. I'm a salesman. I want you to buy something. What do I have to do? I have to get you to feel that you need it. Okay, so what do you do in order to get somebody to need it? Let's say I'm a salesperson. I knock at the door, right? You open the door, and I say, boy, have I got something for you. It's the greatest. It's a machine. It slices, it dices, does the laundry. It only costs 20,000 shekels. Are you going to take it? Probably not. You hear the price? The first thing you're going to do is say, thank you, but no thank you, right? I have children, I have a wife, I have my hands, you know, I can deal with it, I'll keep the 20,000 shekels. Chances are. Okay, so how are you supposed to do it? You're going to offer somebody something. You say, look, let's try it out. You know, the vacuum cleaner salesman, they come and they dump the dirt on the floor, and they vacuum it up, and they go, ooh, look how clean it is, right? It was cleaner than before. Of course, usually you don't remember how dirty it was before, but that's a different question. Anyway, so Lichora, God, if you want to market it, you do what they do with like the Coca-Cola commercials. You know, you see this guy, it's a hot day. It's, oh, he's so hot, he's sweating. And he had this big glass with ice cubes in it, and starts pouring it in, and you start feeling the taste buds, you know. So what should have HaKadosh Baruch Hu done? He should have said, listen, what's written that you want to put a mezuzah on your door? A mezuzah on your door. Okay, put the mezuzah on the door. Wow, that was easy. Give me the next one. What's the problem? So what in the world was going on here? They asked what's written in it. Seems like a normal question to me. They asked what's written in it. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, oh, what's written in it? It costs $20 million. You know? Who is going
to
take it?
He did the same thing to the yid. The offer that he sent, that he gave it to,
right.
He was waiting to hear, I don't care what's in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the Jews said. We don't care what's in it. We'll take it.
It's a little bit deeper than that. Okay, I'll get back to you, but that's true. Very true. One second. We will get back to that. So this I'm just adding to the pile right now. Okay, I'm going to give the answer to this in just one second. But first, we have to know a little bit about what Torah is. And we have to know a little bit about what the Kodesh Baruch Hu is before we can truly understand the answer. The Torah, we find the answer. What is the purpose of Torah? It's the first Rashi in Sefer Bereishis. Right? First Rashi in Sefer Bereishis asks the famous question, why doesn't the Torah start with a Chodesh HaZelechem? What's the purpose of the Torah? The purpose of the Torah is to teach you the mitzvahs. Right? You're supposed to take something. The mitzvahs are there that every minute of your life you have a zchut. I have a mitzvah on Rosh Chodesh to be kaddish l'chodesh. I have a mitzvah to get up in the morning and put on tefillah. I have a mitzvah that as long as I have a house that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me this tremendous bracha called a house, I put a mezuzah on the door. Right? I have a million and one mitzvahs. I'm constantly surrounded by mitzvahs. I'm doing mitzvahs. That's the purpose of the Torah. So what do we need Sefer Bereishis for? To which HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Koach ma'asav higid lamo, latet lem nachlas goyim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us the greatness of his ma'asim, the greatness of his action, how powerful he is, how tremendous he is. Right? And the truth is I have an entire shiur about the first 4 days of Bereishis, just taking it apart piece by piece and seeing how everything, the description of creation that you can find in science today was written in the Torah, it was written in Chazal thousands of years ago. Right? Just what the cutting edge science, what they're coming up with now, is in Bereishis in black and white. But that's a story for a different time. So he tells us the power of his words in order that we know that when the Goyim come and say you're thieves, right? We all know that they say we're thieves. Heard it a million and one times, right? It connects us to Yom Yerushalayim, but well, okay? When they say that we're thieves, we have what to say. God created the world. He gave it to whoever he felt like. He gave it to us. What's your problem? Right? You're living in it on merits. He gave it to us. So, fine. But what's the issue here? The Torah is koach ma'asav. Okay? The Torah is much more powerful than just giving the mitzvahs. That's another facet that Rashi is mentioning over there. That the Torah is telling us the power of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that power was contained in the Torah. Right? We say, Istakil ba'oraita u'bara alma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked in the Torah, and he created the world. Now, on a deeper level, right? I heard this in a shiur. I forget the Rav's name off the top of my head. He says, what does that mean? The pasuk says, "Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim et haaretz." What is Reshit? Reshit is Torah. So what does it mean, Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim et haaretz? It means using this powerful tool known as Reshit, which is Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu therefore created the world. What does that mean? It means that the power contained in the Torah itself is so great that it affects creation. How so? There's a great example. We know that Sarah Imenu was barren. Our sages tell us not only was she barren, it wasn't just that she had problems conceiving, she couldn't conceive. She lacked something called a womb. Okay? Now any woman that is lacking a womb, there's no way she's going to get pregnant. It just doesn't happen. Where did she get a womb from? Well, her husband was the first person to learn Torah. And in the merit of that Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed Sidrei Bereishis and created for her a womb. Okay? That is the power of Torah. We say, to the extent, it's mentioned in the Rashba, it's brought down in Hilchas Nida, that our sages tell us that a girl, up until the age of 3 years old, if the hymen is broken, it grows back. If she's 3 and 1 day, okay, she's 3 years old, and 1 day, then it no longer grows back. Now, what happens if her birthday is in Adar? And her third birthday comes out on Rosh Chodesh Adar. And there it is on Rosh Chodesh Adar, I'm sorry, her birthday, yeah, fine. There it is, the day after Rosh Chodesh Adar. And our sages, for whatever reason, say, problem, we need to push off Pesach. Add a second day, a second month of Adar. Says the Rajba, what will happen? Her hymen will grow back. Why? Because Chazal were given the ability to decide when the Shana, when the Chodesh takes effect. Therefore, if they decree that the year has not come to a pass, it's you add another month of Adar, in which case her birthday is pushed off by 1 month, then her hymen will regrow. That's the power which is contained in the Torah. Torah has the ability to affect physical reality, but even more so, it has the ability to affect our reality. How so? There's many things that we find in the Torah which seem to us very difficult. For example, the Isser Lo Tachmod. What does the Torah say? The Torah says, you happen to be a shlemazel. I'm a shlemazel. You know, I got the dinky house, and I got the dinky car, and you know, I happen to live next to a neighbor who's a millionaire. And you look at his house, and it's in all glittery and flashy, and you say, come on, God, how could I not be Mekana? How could I not be Mekana? Right, this is the question with the Sefer Chinuch has. And what is the answer? He says, very simple. The Torah tells you quite clearly, it's within your ability to come over to overcome Kina. How do you do that? You learn Torah. By learning Torah, you make an effect on yourself. You make an effect on your life. Now, I remember many times my Talmud would ask me, well, Rabbi, I've learned Torah. I've learned lots of Torah. And I'm still the same, whatever I was beforehand. You know, what's going on? I was told, you sit down, you learn Torah, and you change. But it hasn't happened. I'm still the same, whatever I was. So I said to them, listen, our sages say, Torah nimshal alabayim. It's like water. Now, how good is water? Water is, you're thirsty and you drink water, that's fantastic. Right? Hoy called sam alech lamayim. When you're thirsty for Torah, it's the most fantastic thing in the world. You go and you drink and you understand, and it's mamash gevaldik, as they say in Yiddish. It's fantastic. Nothing better. But what happens if you're learning and you want to change? Well, I said, mashallah lamad davar lamad. There's a parable. You have dirty dishes, okay? You ate your Shabbos meal, and you left the dishes out on the table all night. Now, in the morning, you want to wash the dishes. So what do? You take them to the sink, and you start scrubbing. How difficult is it going to be to take off the schmutz? Very much so, okay? You leave it out all night, the stuff dries on the plate, cakes on the plates. The ability to take it off is very, you're going to have to put all your power into it. However, if you take those self-same plates, and you soak them in water, with a little effort, it'll come off. That's Torah, okay? You go and you sit and you learn Torah and you say, I'm still the same schmutznik that I was before. Fine, you have to put in a little effort. The schmutz will come off, but it takes a little effort. But that's Torah. If a person has bad midot, right? If a person is genetically inclined, right? A person is genetically inclined to be a murderer. Our sages say concerning David HaMelech. David HaMelech was genetically inclined to be a murderer. Where do we see this? By Shmuel HaNavi. He says when he went to anoint a king, he comes to Yishai's house. And, you know, he's looking, he's trying to guess who it is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who wants him to anoint. And everybody goes by and he says, oh, that's got to be the one. And God says, nope, that's got to be the one. He says, nope. Finally, they run out of candidates and they say, there's got to be one more. Right? God told me one of your sons. So they call in David. And here he is in Admoni. And Shmuel sees it and he goes, Admoni? You want me to anoint an Admoni? What happens when you give an Admoni power? You get an Asaph. Asaph was also an Admoni. Look who he was. David was genetically inclined to be a murderer. That's what Shmuel and Avi said. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said something amazing. He says, Ata roe leinai. You have very limited sight. Dani roe leliv. I see the heart. His heart has been affected by Torah. And therefore, even though he's genetically inclined to be a murderer, he knows how to utilize that for the good. How so? He can be a shochet. He can be a moel. Or
a warrior.
He can be a warrior. Right? The warriors, they go out and behead the Sanhedrin. That's a milchemet mitzvah. It's not murder. The Torah gives us the ability to change ourselves. And now this takes us back to the Midrash. Okay? What did we ask? We said, God, l'chara, you need to take a marketing class because you don't know how to sell. Well, unfortunately, that is our limited sight. Because the truth of the matter is, what was God selling? You know, who was coming to your door? If I don't know, chveist, try and think. Rav Aryeh Levine, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, would come to your door and say, I've got a wonderful present for you. Just come and take it. Would anybody in their right mind say, what, are you crazy? I'm going to take that. No, you got a wonderful present. You, tzaddik like you, you obviously have my best intentions at heart. The Ribono Shel Olam comes to you and he says, I got a Torah to give you. What in the world are you thinking when you ask, what's written in it? So the answer, Rabbi Yisrael, very simple. If I see a Kadosh Baruch Hu when he says, I've got a Matana Tova to give you, and I ask what's written in it, I have one simple question. I said, a Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm a size 42. All right? Like to say 38 waist, but no longer. Does it fit me? Is it tailor-made? To which a Kadosh Baruch Hu said, nope, not tailor-made. You've got a problem. Why? Because it says, Lo Tirtzach. He comes to Yishmael, and Yishmael asks him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is it tailor-made? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, nope, not tailor-made. Only did Bnei Yisrael come along and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Naaseh V'Nishma. The meaning of Naaseh V'Nishma is, we'll change. It doesn't fit us. We understand that it doesn't fit us. We'll change. There's not a single person in the world that doesn't have a unique set of character traits, who doesn't have a unique set of taivas, who doesn't have a unique set of yetzer tovs and yetzer raz, and he is going to have to find, by utilizing the Torah, the way that he's going to overcome his shortcomings, how he's going to improve the gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him, and how he is going to become the wonderful menschliche person that he could be. That is Torah. So when Bnei Yisrael came along and they said, Naaseh V'Nishma, and they said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever it is will change. And what is it that he's giving us? He's giving us the one thing in the world that gives us the ability to overcome our shortcomings, to overcome our lacks, to overcome our taivas. So that's the perfect match that's made in heaven. What did we get out of that? What's the benefit? The benefit is that we became a cherished nation, and it comes with privileges. Okay, one example, which I'll give you off the top of many, is that when it comes to, I was listening to Rav Eli Shear on the medical ethics, when it comes to the issue of abortion, so a non-Jew that performs an abortion is a rotzeach. Okay? Clear. All the poskim agree. He's a rotzeach. That's person she'arag et ha'nefesh. But if a Jew, chas v'shalom, does it under the wrong intentions, it's true, he did ritzicha. He did a form of ritzicha, but there's no punishment for it, because it didn't have a nefesh yet. The only time that it's actually 100% considered alive is when it comes out of its mother's womb. Why does the Kadosh Baruch Hu give dispensation to us in this? Because we are the Am Segula. Because we're the only ones that said whatever is written in the Torah, we're willing to change for it. So when it comes out that the Kadosh Baruch Hu came to give the Torah, and this is something that we always have to remember, when he says it, he means it. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Esav and Yishmael and all the other nations, I want to give you the Torah, he meant it. It wasn't a facade. Even though he knew that they were going to say no, he meant every word. It doesn't make any difference as far as the Ribono Shel Olam is concerned. I meant to give you the Torah. You decided you don't want it? You lose. Your problem. You lost out. But that's Torah. Now let's take it back to Shavuos. Yom Shenitna B'Torah. The Gemara goes on to say, I even forgot to mention it about Rav Yosef, on the day that Atzeres, Yamada Atzar to the Gemara says here, I'll read it because I don't want to make a mistake, right? Rav Yosef, Yamada Atzarta, on the day of Shavuos, Amar Avdi Le'igla Tilta, he says, told his family, make me go out by the best meat. I want the best meat for this day. Why? Amar Eloha Yoma de Kagarim, if it wasn't for this day, which brought all of this about, Kama Yosef Ika B'Sugar. How many other people named Yosef or Yusuf are there in the sugar? There's so many other people. We, in choosing to take upon ourselves the yoke, which is called Torah, in choosing that, we became not Yosef. We became something beyond Yosef. That's what Rabbi Yosef is telling us. Because this day, we got that special kli, which changed us. We got that special kli, which makes us different. And here I am, day in and day out. I have the zchus to sit and to be amel, and to grow and to learn and to become that special mensch that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to be. That's the specialness. That's what the simcha is. When you truly understand what it is that was given to us along with the Torah, then you understand why Chazal say that everyone agrees that on Shavuos, Yom Shenitma Bo Torah, that's the day you have to have lachem. Because we have no means of expressing simcha without a physical sign. On a day such as this, when we were given this special ability, we became such a special nation, we became not Yusuf, but Yosef, we became these special individuals, that's the day where we have to have something which will allow us to achieve the full potential of Simcha on Yom Tov, which is a meal. Okay, this takes us back to Atzeret. What's the connection between Pesach and Shavuos? Why did Chazal call it Atzeret? Because it is the Shmini Atzeret of Pesach. The connection between Pesach and Shavuos is such that there is no Pesach without a Shmini Atzeret. Right? In this case, it's not Shmini, it's Chamishim, it's the 50th day, it's 7 times 7, which brings it out to an entirely different level. It's only one day of Yom Tov because it's the Atzeret of Pesach. All the other times, you have two days, here it's one because it's connected to Pesach. It's the Atzeret of Pesach. That's what Chazal were putting as a dagesh on when they called it Atzeret. So that you know that its connection to Pesach is such that this is the fulcrum, this is the top of the top, the creme de la creme, this is the makeh v'padish of everything that Pesach was all about. So when we come to here, you have your one day of Yom Tov, right? You can obviously bring the korbanos, your personal korbanos, on a different day, 7 days, you the full 7 days. But there's no Yom Tov, there's no Chol HaMoed, there's no nothing because of its connection to Pesach. So when your children ask you, Bezrat Hashem, on Shavuos, what's so special about this night? And obviously we don't do anything to get them to ask. But other than staying up all night, which is a relatively new minhag, it's only a couple hundred years old that they actually started staying up all night. But what's special about it? This is the day we got Torah. That's what it is. Torah, the kli which makes us different. The kli which makes us special. The kli which makes us into a nation, which is the Am Segula to all the other nations. And Bani Matem LaHashem Elokeichem to the Ribono Shel Olam, that's the specialness of this day. So, Bezrat Hashem, Shavuos should be a time of hitalut. Right? You should grow, right, spiritually. You should grow, hopefully not your waist size. Right? Bezrat Hashem, you should have a good fleishik meal and Shavuos and enjoy it to its fullest because this is the day, Yom Shenit Bo Torah, that's the day of our most tremendous sin of the year.
So if you have a Gary Miller, you're not.
No, actually, it's a cold question. There are people that don't like meat. So for the people that don't like meat, the poskim say, okay, have something other than meat. It's okay. But, technically, if you do like meat, then you really should, lechatchila, you should have meat.
We used to be vegetarian.
Yeah.
So when we got married,
yeah,
we had our china was dairy. Like, we didn't have anything else. So then we got something handed down to us. So on Shavuos, we dafka use the dairy china. So we have dairy because
most American families have a dairy meal.
That's what I'm
if you know about lochos, then you have your little cheesecake beforehand.
Right.
You have kiddush, you wash, you have your little cheesecake, and then you wash your mouth or you eat a little bread, and then you eat the regular fleishik meal.
My article, Dimit and Christian was on that actually.
This is what my father's written on.
It's a very, very interesting thing. The whole issue of eating milk. Nobody knows really where it started and where it came from, and all sorts of interesting ideas.
Cheese was not sold live. They need to get the cheese.
Was cheese plus things.
I think it was in Baskin and Robbins came out. And people decided, cheese! Sure. We need a chag where we can have milk.
Yeah. We haven't met Yossi Gov.
Shalom. Very nice.
Shalom.
Shalom Ben Zed.
Shalom
Ben Zed. Derek Saker's brother.
Oh! Hello there. How are you?
You guys have met.
Who's brother?
They know my sister from Pasek.
What's her name?
Saker, Dara and Derek. They're in Rabbi Cohen's shul. Mm.
Okay.
She is no longer in Cohen's shul. He is on occasion there. very often.
Yeah.